Christine, do you think this is the last time that Novak Djokovic will hold the number one ranking?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
A lot will depend on his recovery from this knee injury. Good question, though. Yeah, it's a very good question.
I'll ask Alex.
2-2. He's got to acknowledge you first. Backhand cross gone to the service line. The slice down low to the feet of the inside in. Zverev back up the line, back down the line and cross court. Very deep from Dimonor, who crunches into that forehand, but he misses. It was a kind of lasso take back, wasn't it?
Yeah. And with regards to Novak, for any of you who may have missed the news today, he's had surgery on the meniscus. They reckon it's a good 3 weeks recovery. It's looking, I think he's going to miss Wimbledon, barring some miraculous recovery. But the plan, the hope for the Serb is that he will be okay for the Olympics.
There's a few rude words there from Dimonor up at his box. Not to them, just about generally how he's feeling about things, because they're all chuckling.
Well, both players are now coming to have a look at the mark. Zverev was hoping he'd come up with a cracker right down the middle, but he accepts that the umpire, with his overrule, was correct. The serve was long. I want to see an underarm, Sasha. Look where he's standing.
He's not going to do it. Serves out wide. The backhand is long.
Are you not a fan of the underarm serve?
No, I'm not a fan. He just won't do it.
Has he said that?
Have you ever seen him do one?
Not that I'm aware of, but I mean, it doesn't mean he can't.
But I don't think he would.
A great surprise tactic.
Very surprised. We'd all be surprised. Waiting for him to do it now. Fault called. He's saying that wasn't a fault. Come on. And it wasn't. And it was 4-0. And Dimonor sort of wandered in and wandered out again.
It's a good umpire. Takes no nonsense from the players and very rarely gets a call wrong.
Out wide goes the serve. The backhand from Zverev down the line. He's got triple game points to edge ahead 3-2 in the third set. Deep cross court from Dimonor and wide from Zverev.
So yes or no, will Djokovic get back to number one?
Oh, he's still going. Yes. And you?
I think you just can't write the guy off, can you?
And it's not like Sinner, who's become number one, is probably going to get an Iga Swiatek type lead. Forehand, cross court, and deep, and swung on the backhand, and in comes Rev. Oh, it's a lovely volley. Really lovely low volley into the far corner of the court, and he holds for 3-2.
And he's looking up to his box, he's having a conversation from a distance.
Oh, he was waiting for his drinks to be handed to him. And his bag with all his bits and pieces for his diabetes.
Yeah, that's often overlooked, actually, with regards to Sasha Zverev. And I'm going to have the greatest admiration for anybody that has to battle with that cruel and debilitating disease. As a Tottenham fan, one of my all-time favourite players was Gary Mabbott, who played for England, had to inject himself 4 or 5 times a day, and you know, there were moments where he nearly died and he was collapsing away from the pitch and all the rest of it, but he showed what can be done. Sasha Zverev gets on with it. I know a young lad who at 17 or 18 was making great strides as a junior tennis player when he was struck down with diabetes. But people like Zverev and Mabbott and many others have shown that you can play high-level sport with very tough conditions, and good luck to you for that. And of course, we've got a big sign along both sides of the Châtelet stands, La Victoire, appartient à, ou plus, in English anyway, victory belongs to the most tenacious, and yeah, let's not forget that.
There's a top paddle player called Alex Ruiz, and he suffers with diabetes. And he said he never knows how he's going to wake up in the morning, and he'll probably never be at 100%. but he's never quite sure if he can train or how much he can train or what he can do. But he's managed to manage it to be one of the top players in his sport. But he does say that every day is almost like going into the unknown, and he knows he will never, ever be 100%. Inside in goes Alex de Menor, and cross court with the forehand goes de Menor, and then he plays a backhand, so it takes the pace off through the middle of the court. The pace is added off the forehand of Zverev, who then redirects down the line to the slice, floats, drifts, cross court, double-handed backhand from Zverev, who swivels and goes forehand, cross court to the forehand, into the tram lines from the Australian, and it's love 15.
And I do want to say that phrase in French, because I mean, I'm here in Paris and it's Paul. So victory belongs to the most tenacious. La victoire.
Why don't you get Stefan to put the headset on and say it in French, how it's meant to sound?
Well, this is how it's meant to sound. La victoire appartient au plus opiniâtre.
He says pas mal.
Not bad. I'll take that.
I think he was being nice.
Well, at least he is. I mean, the day you are... Then the pigs will be flying across.
What time are you starting tomorrow? Backhand off the baseline, the inside out forehand, the cross court, the inside in, the forehand from de Menor goes cross court to the down the line, the backhand through the middle of the court. I will get an answer on that. The inside out forehand misses. What time are you starting tomorrow?
So I'll be to give you one of your what little stats. I shall be getting into the gym at about 8:09. I shall begin my research
tomorrow?
At about 9:17.
What time are you starting tomorrow?
5:00.
What time did you start today? Not what time did you arrive off your own accord. What time were you scheduled today?
5:00.
There we go.
But the research...
No. If that's your research, those pink highlighted four words...
There is another page.
Drop shot from de Menor. Here comes Zverev. He gets to it. He slides it up. De Menor goes cross court! And he's got it.
Well, has he? Umpire's coming down.
Arm didn't go out. He's got it.
Yeah. It's getting to that hour.
And it's getting to that stage. 2-3, 15:30, two sets love down. Every point pretty precious round about now, and he misses the first serve. Serve down the tee, the inside-out forehand return, the forehand from serve, scooped up cross-court to the forehand, cross-court onto the service line, backhand through the middle of the service boxes from de Menor, and then he goes cross-court with his backhand, another double-hander for the Australian, and he nets, and it's 15-40, a break points for 4-2 for Zverev in the third.
Yeah. Effectively match points, you would feel here, it's asking a heck of a lot for a man who's never come from two sets down. To come from two sets and a breakdown against the guy who's very close to making his fourth successive Roland Garros semi-final.
Two, three, 15, 40. Oh! Double fault from de Menor. Hangs his head. There's a sigh from the crowd. And Zverev leads by two sets and a break, 4-2. And while I know he's ignoring you, but Alex Krejcik, just before that point, looked at me and said that he's going down there to do the interview. Stop staring at him.
He's just checking. He's tucking his shirt in, making sure he's presentable. He's got jeans on.
That's because he's got to go down on court. He said he's got to head down there.
Just thought maybe I could offer him a couple of questions.
Well, he has to acknowledge you first. 4-2. I mean, we've had a great old conversation over the top of your head throughout this evening.
Well, most conversations go over the top of my head. He's off.
Stop staring.
Open the door. I'll wish him luck on his way down. Do you want me to suggest, Alex, a question? How do you feel?
It's not well. 4-2 through the middle of the court. Into the net goes de Menor, and it could slip away from him quite quickly. His jacket is on. He's got his accreditation. He's putting his headphones on to do a couple more points. We're now commentating on Alex Krejcik and the match.
Actually, he hasn't got his accreditation on, and he needs to be careful because they might not let him on the court.
No, but he's got his jacket on, so he's getting himself, and he's tucking his shirt in, getting himself sorted. Comment, ball by ball commentary. 4-2, 15 love, served down the middle from Zverev, who bunts it into the net. There's a come on from Dimonor.
Well, he may yet be taking that jacket off again, who knows. What I would say, it was such an anticlimactic end to that last game, a fourth double fault from Dimonor, and his effort actually warranted more than that. That was a really sad way to be broken.
Oof, boy. That fella's got some lungs, isn't he?
He needs to gargle, though, tonight if he's going to carry on screaming like that.
Terry says, what does Stefan do the other 50 weeks a year? Now, we've told everyone this, he recovers. 15 all, serve out wide, long, 30-15.
Has a fair bit of counselling. And you've been under the Empress's cosh as closely as he has for 15 straight days. That's inevitable. Oh, hang on. I think Dumoussoir's come to have a look at Amar. I didn't think there was any quibble about it.
I think Zverev is fairly relaxed about things. He's up two sets. He leads by a break at 4-2, so he's not going to get into anything. He knows he's not going to change the mind of Damien Dumoussoir.
It was a very late strangulated call, which often indicates there's a degree of doubt in the mind of the line judge.
15-30, all the line judges, they've gone from having the jumpers on to these long, sort of down-to-knee-length coats, these lovely Lacoste coats that they're wearing.
Wonder if Antoine can get me one of those.
Well, he couldn't get you one of the jumpers earlier, so going with no. 15-30. Serve that kicks up to the backhand. It's rolled in through the middle. The off forehand from Zverev. The backhand cross court to the backhand cross court to the backhand. Ooh, swerves a little bit and dips from Dimonor. Flattens out his backhand. Dimonor swivels and goes inside, and he's missed. He has missed the inside in forehand. He looks up to his box. He cannot believe it. And it is 30 all. And Alex Krejci is going to be off in a couple of points time. He's still avoiding the stare of Marcus. It's getting a little bit awkward now between the two of them. The headphones are off. He is leaving the box.
Here he comes.
He's going to come past us.
He's going to look in.
Good luck.
Oh, he's run straight by.
There we go. He's gone.
Rude.
He's gone. He's on his way down. 30-all, 4-2. Roll back in off the serve. The off backhand. The forehand cross court to the forehand up the line to the off forehand from Dimonor, who's at the net. He plays the volley. And here comes Zverev. He scoops up. And the volley is there from Dimonor. He might be running back in a minute because Dimonor has a break point.
It's just one thing I don't understand. I know he told us that they're quite laid back about not having commentary for a few minutes, but isn't it a bit strange that suddenly there's nobody commentating on the closing stage to this quarterfinal?
Is that back in Spain, they have his co-commentator who will now hold it. Otherwise, yes, they are just watching pictures. Break back point. Dumoussoir's on his toes. Still, side on. Enormous serve, drops very, very short. The backhand cross court to the backhand cross court, a little bit deeper from Dimonor, who swivels and goes inside out with the forehand. He's got the upper hand here, Dimonor, and he goes up the line and back up the line and then drop shot. Here comes Zverev, but that sits up and Zverev pushes it deep and he goes cross court. The volley is there from Zverev, the pickup from Dimonor. Great volleying from Zverev. He covered the net well and he saves the break point.
Yeah, terrific defence, two really good deep volleys. And as quick as Dimonor is, and he went herring across onto his forehand wing, he couldn't get to the second of them. I mean, the drop shots work really well at times for Dimonor tonight, but it's not been foolproof.
Juice, 4-2. Serve down the tee, stretch and the return, short ball. Zverev goes into the corner. Into the net goes Dumanoir. He's furious with himself, and now Sasha Zverev has a point for 5-2 in the third.
Yeah, but there was plenty of intent in that approach shot on the forehand side from Zverev. He really made sure that he got power and depth. And so if Dumanoir was going to pass him, it was going to require terrific contact. And there wasn't much of a gap either, to be honest.
You can have a look at Twitter. Johnny has sent a little picture just for you, Marcus.
Ooh.
Game point for 5-2. Stefan can see it. The forehand hooked into the corner. And then Zverev comes in on an inside-out forehand. He's at the net. He goes to the volley. Cushions it over. And he does lead by 5-2. And he's a game away from the semi-finals.
That's not very nice. There's a Johnny. This just in from Alex Kurecha, and it's one of those gifts saying this is a restraining order.
You were staring at him intently.
Somebody being handed a giant piece of... Oh, I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm blocking you. It's outrageous.
And John says Marcus's advice to Alex was gold.
How do you feel? Yeah.
And Lizzie says, I'm here for Kurecha watch. Well, he's gone now.
Well, I'm hoping he's got stuck in the lift. In fact, maybe I should walk down the stairs, because if he's not there, I could pop out and do the interview.
No. Zverev doesn't wait for time.
But listen, this is... From his point of view, after successive five setters, I mean, it's been three long sets, but it's less than 3 hours on court. He's got tomorrow off. Physically, I think he's going to be fine.
You've almost got tomorrow off. You don't start till five. You could be done by 6:30.
I should point out, the only reason I started later today than normal was because one of the matches didn't happen because of Novak's injury, and I'd done all the research for that anyway.
You hadn't.
Well, I looked to see who was meant to play.
2-5. Alex Dumanoir serving to stay in the match, to stay in the championship, to stay on clay. The off backhand in play from Zverev, who's keeping it on his backhand side. Now he slices down the line to the forehand, whipped cross court. The forehand sits a little bit short from Zverev, and he gets a bit more depth on the cross court forehand. There's more pace on it from Dumanoir, who's crunching these balls and fires that forehand past the German.
Well, if he's going to go down, he's going to go down fighting. I love it when he really commits.
Very good point from John. He said if Marcus did the on-court interview, he would end up calling Sasha Misha.
That's very possible.
Good serve. Deep return, side edge of line. Mid-court ball for Zverev. Oh, Dumanoir stopped the point. Zverev comes forward. Damian Dumas was running across the court. Oh, no. Yes. Oh, hang on. Zverev not happy. He accepts it. He's in a position to accept it, and it's not going to change the mind anyway.
Few whistles.
And it was out by a slither, by a hair. We're seeing the Hawkeye replay. Stretch to the middle of the court. Dumanoir goes drop shot. Here comes Zverev. He gets it, pushes it wide, and it's 40 loves. Looks like Dumanoir will be asking the question of Sasha Zverev very shortly.
You could say it was out by a strawberry's hair.
Not the hair on your strawberries. It's all he can do, and it's what he will do.
Yep, 184 kilometres an hour, going out wide of the Zverev backhand. So the ball's come down to the German's end. He's directly in front of us on the fifth floor of the media centre. We've got a perfect view. Are we about to witness the final blows, the end of what's been a gallant Australian run, or can Alex de Minaur do something very special under intense pressure with Zverev serving for a place in the semi-finals?
His fourth consecutive Roland Garros semi-final. This time last year, he was the world number 22, coming back from his ankle injury. Here he plays as the world number 4, and he's 4 points away from the final four. Zverev double-handed backhand nets. Love 15. Didn't move his feet at all.
No, absolutely right, Gigi. A little bit casual. Quite passive. When you don't move your feet, you maybe get a slightly awkward kick off the clay. That can happen.
He aborts the ball toss due to the chuckling in the crowd. 20 past 11 at night.
It's Kurecha banging on the lift door. Let me out.
Bouncing comes to an end. Dimonor's going to take this early. He's on the baseline. He's inside the baseline. Ooh. You heard the call for the line judge. It is a double fault. And it's love 30. There's a little bit of pressure there from Dimonor, who's inside the baseline for that second serve.
Double fault number 5.
Dimonor stands way back. He's on his toes. Here's that window. This is where you ask the question. First serve down the tee. Backhand's in play. The forehand cross court and deep from Zverev. Gets a mid-court ball. The forehand down the line. Back up the line and long. And Zverev is on the board and needs 3 points for his place in the semi-finals.
Yeah, and Dimonor stands hands on hips, facing his box. We know how positive he is, but he's absolutely gutted, I think, about his shot selection there.
I don't think Paul's seen this side of him, is he? Young no. Paul. Serve down the tee. The forehand spins back in the backhand cross court. The Dimonor backhand down the line to the forehand swept cross court. The forehand spun cross court from Dimonor. Dimonor with his backhand up the line, looking to bring up break back points here. Backhand cross court he goes. Backhand cross court from the German. Inside in from Dimonor. Good defense from Zverev at the moment. Zverev goes on the attack with a forehand into the corner. He pushes Dimonor back. He gets up to the baseline. Dimonor on the baseline with his backhand down the line. Can he get himself some break back points here? Inside in goes Zverev. Or is it going to be 30-all? It is going to be 30-all.
And again, Zverev played that pretty much within himself, but he got good depth. He was moving his feet this time. He was gently pushing Dimonor from side to side. You know, he's saying to him, you want a break? What can you do? Couldn't do enough.
5-3, 30-all. Two hours 50 on the clock. 2 points needed. Zverev out wide with the serve. Gets deep and he swings it cross court. The sliding Dimonor gets it inside the baseline. The backhand is down the line from the German. He can now open the forehand. That skews off his shoelaces, goes long, and Dimonor has marked it. So there is no doubt about where it landed. And it is break back point for the Australian.
Yeah, well, he got terrific depth himself, Dimonor. And Zverev was facing a ball that just flew back off his baseline. And he just erred a fraction. Is there a little twist in the tail? The crowd hopes so. They want a lot more of this. They're getting behind the demon.
Serve down the tee, forehand spins back, pushes Zverev back into a short ball, brings the Australian. He's now at the net. Dimonor, he cushions the volley. Can Zverev pass him the volley from Dimonor? Oh, wow! The drop shot played by Alex Dimonor, and we play on. Breaks the serve, back on serve, 5-4 Zverev.
It's brilliant from
Diminor, and I hate to be critical because sitting up here, we've never made a mistake. But the very first point of that game, Zverev was so passive, that set the tone, and his plus one there was a nothing forehand that allowed Diminor to come in. He still had to execute a lovely touch at the net, but we've seen that several times from him today. He didn't make a mistake. He's back in business. The only question now is whether Alex Krejcik comes back up to his box.
I think he'll wait to the end of this set, and if the set does go to Diminor, we then have to put our stopwatch on to see how quickly he can get back up into the box. He took 4 minutes to get from court Susan Longland back to Philippe Chatrier, which is quite a distance. Zverev's not waiting for time to be called. He is back and in position. Coldplay is still playing. Zverev is at the back of the court. He's ready to continue. Time is called. Diminor will take his time as we get our first Mexican wave of the evening, and Marcus is...
not this time, but I think it might gather momentum. If it comes round again, we've got to do it. Normally
okay,
the second time around
I'm
it gets better.
Ready for this.
Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. Coming.
Ready.
Now!
And Stefan did it too! There we go. Done our Mexican wave. It's coming round, I'm not doing it again.
No, enough. Sit down. Player's just waiting patiently. Oh, it's happening again. Not another circuit.
No, when it gets the Presidential Tribune, it sort of dies down a little bit.
And of course, Diminor he's done the first part of the job, Gigi. He's got the break back, but he's still serving to stay in the match.
Alex Diminor, 25 years of age, in his first Roland Garros semi-final, his second Grand Slam quarter-final, first since the US Open in 2020, is serving a mishit ball from the German. 6 minutes shy of 3 hours, and it's 4-5, 15 love. Earned his first top five win at a slam with a win against Medvedev in the previous round, did Diminor. Missed the first serve down the tee. Serve down the tee, a little bit short now. The off forehand is back. The inside out forehand from Diminor. Diminor with the backhand cross court to the deep flat backhand from Zverev. He goes middle of the court with his forehand. He plays another forehand, the German, down the line to the backhand cross court from the Australian, to the backhand cross court from the German. Centre of the court from Diminor. Whipped inside in from Zverev. Zverev with his forehand down the other wing. Leaves it a little bit short. Great depth off the backhand from Diminor, who then goes inside in, but too long, and it's 15-all.
Yep. Still very dangerous times, these, for Diminor. Of course, you get that surge, that pump, that elation that you've managed to break back when your opponent is serving for the match, but can be fragile after that. A bit like when you score a goal in football, you just, you know, lose a little bit of focus, a little bit of attention, and Zverev is still only 3 points away.
The net is found off the first serve, looking to go out wide to Zverev's forehand. Second serve goes centre of the box. The forehand is scooped up, but Zverev got that all wrong. He's lucky to still be in this point. Settles for the forehand up the line, backhand cross court. Zverev with a double-handed backhand. He's been making a different noise now as he hits the ball, and he misses. Doesn't get the footwork right. Cannot believe it. The inside-out forehand misses the court by a way.
Well, he got a terrible bounce, to be fair to him, when he made that return. It just didn't get up, and actually he did well to get the ball back in court. He sort of shook his head, looked up at his box. Oh, why did I have to get a bounce like that at this stage in proceedings?
Second serve down the tee in the off forehand return, and Zverev with his double-handed backhand sort of scoops it up in the slice-up line from Diminor, and cross-court sideline goes Zverev. He goes down the line, and Diminor gets there, stretches long, 30-all.
Well,
beauty of the tennis scoring system is that after this next point, we'll either have a match point or we could have a real sense of a Dimonor fight back.
Ball boys scurry back into position. Dimonor has the ball he's going to use. Zverev's a long way back. Four, five, 30 all. 11:30 in the evening, and the serve misses by a way out wide.
Yeah, wide and long.
Is he going to go more central now in the box like before the second serve? Yes, he does. The forehand is deep and a little bit short now. Deeper and harder off the forehand goes Zverev, who draws the error, and it is match point.
Yeah.
After 2 hours and 57 minutes.
I mean, I mentioned how passive he was on a couple of points in that previous game when he was serving for the match, but that was a terrific, firm, deep return. It set the tone, led to the error. Is this the moment?
Match point for Sasha Zverev. Dimonor serves a net off the first serve.
Of course, he double-faulted the last time he was broken.
Second serve goes deep and the forehand is spun in. The inside-out forehand sits up to be flattened out deep off the backhand from Zverev. Zverev with his backhand down the line. Sliding forehand cross-court to the forehand up the line from the German. The backhand cross-court from the Australian. Cross-court goes the German. The slice from Dimonor. The inside-out forehand from Zverev at match point. Forehand cross-court on the angle and then backhand very deep from Dimonor, who slides into his backhand cross-court to the service line. Backhand slipped up and then the slice up the line from Dimonor. Down the line with the forehand and into the net. Goes Alex Dimonor, and Sasha Zverev has reached his fourth consecutive Roland Garros semi-final. 1 minute shy of 3 hours on the match clock. A little exchange between the two. There's a 6-4, 7-6, 6-4 win. He is back in the semi-finals. He will face Casper Ruud. It's been a great week or so for Alex Dimonor. His breakout season when it comes to the clay. So many positives for Dimonor to take away, but it is Sasha Zverev who moves through.
Yeah, it's been a fantastic few days for Alex Dimonor. I cannot wait to see him on the grass. I think he could be a real factor come Wimbledon. His speed, his constant positivity. He didn't get himself down. Of course, he's going to be so frustrated. He double-faulted to get broken earlier in the set. He then manages to break Zverev back when he's serving for the match. But there's always danger after that. He's getting a huge cheer as he departs the scene. Fabulous few days, but Zverev joins the Nadal and team, and Murray and Djokovic and Federer and Ferrero and Courier and Lendl and Verlander and Borg as one of 11 men to make four consecutive Roland Garros semi-finals.
Alex Gretscher has made his way to the courts and he's now going to speak to Sasha Zverev.
Sasha, congratulations, one more night. It seems like you are the night session guy, but you've been fighting so hard, back-to-back, five sets matches. Today, against Dimonor, unbelievable player. But this is, you don't win here, you don't win this tournament or these matches these last few days. You won this through many years of working, work ethic. Can you explain us, please? Because this is unreal what you've been doing. Good job, Sasha Zverev.
Yeah. Everybody, you know, everybody in the press and everybody keeps on asking me, what do I do for recovery? And my answer is always very simple. You don't recover after matches. You recover in the off season, and you do the work in the off season. That tennis becomes easy. And I think for me, I have a mindset that you have to work harder than everyone else to be the best player. And I think the best players are all doing that. For me, I like to work to my absolute limit. And if I do that, then playing five sets all of a sudden is not that difficult. And I've been doing that over many years now, and you know, I'm happy it's paying off, still paying off. And happy to be in another semi-finals. Hopefully I can win one.
Sasha, long rallies, difficult to win points, but there was one, a specific one, in the second set, tiebreak. You were down 4-0, then you came back, and at 5-all, you played one of the longest rallies of the whole tournament. Can you take us to that moment, how your heart was beating and how your legs were burning? Because we are sitting outside and it's easy to say, oh, run a little bit more. But are you exhausted on that point? Are you about to die or you still feel...
No, I mean, luckily I have a coach who is my father, who couldn't care less how I feel on the practice court. So since I'm 3 years old, it was always, okay, run here, run there, run for 4 hours straight. And he sometimes forgets that I'm 2 meters tall and I can hit a serve 230 kilometers an hour. But he definitely taught me the Spanish way, you know, running for everything, putting the balls back in the court. And, you know, sometimes it pays off. I wish I would be more aggressive sometimes. But if I'm winning, I'm happy. And I'm in the semifinals, and that's all that matters.
But your work ethic is a real example for every single player on the tour. And now you're here, as you said, again in the semifinals. You have the experience. You're enjoying being here in Paris. We see you smiling. This is unbelievable, Sasha, because you bring so many good things to the sport. Because when you see people like fighting like you and like Deminor did tonight, I think it's very good to show that this is not just about tennis. It's also about heart.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I said it many times. This sport has given me everything. And it has given me the life that I have. It's given me my first love. It's given me heartbreaks. It's given me the biggest joyful moments. It's giving me, you know, the most painful moments. And if I can give back to the sport in any way, and if I can give back, you know, to the people watching and have a little bit of joy on their faces, I'm happy about that. And I hope I can continue doing that. And as long as I do, I'll keep playing. And that's the most important thing.
Semi-finals. I hope the best man can win. Sasha, Casper, Gianni, Carlitos. Good luck to all of you.
Thank you.
Sasha Zverev, qualifié pour la demi-finale de Roland Garros.
He certainly has. He's done it for fourth consecutive year. So congratulations to Sasha Zverev. As Marcus said, it's him against me. Because I've picked Rude to go the distance. You have picked Zverev.
Yeah. Of course, I've also still got my women's pick in the draw, and you haven't.
And you were ignored by Alex Krejcik all evening.
That is true. That is true. By the way, the head-to-head between Rude and Zverev, 2-2.
Can you not hear the music, the Oscar music started? It means you have to wrap up your speech when
that
the music starts.
That was it. I just
thought Stefan has started the music. He wants to go home.
The research that I began
I
at 7 minutes past nine this morning.
I know you're not starting till 5 o'clock tomorrow, but some of us are going to be in here in the morning.
I'm having breakfast with Alex Krejcik, business breakfast.
Does he know?
No.
There's the worry. Just remember, everybody, just say no. That's the advice we leave you with this evening. Enjoy your day, evening, afternoon. Get home safely if you're in the car. Enjoy whatever you're up to. But remember, tomorrow we're with you from midday for the mixed doubles final. And then from 3 o'clock, we've got the women's semis. And then we've got our team dinner in the evening. So a lovely day in prospect. Thank you so much once again for your company. And we look forward to doing it all over again tomorrow.
Let them eat bread.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 12 local time, broadcasting live from Paris and bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set, and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 12 local time, broadcasting live from Paris and bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
You're taking a pretty big risk to go out wide there to the forehand, that doubles-type return from the deuce court, because Federer's forehand is absolutely lethal.
Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros. Quiet, please. Players are ready.
They almost certainly are. A number of them have been out, won or lost, and gone back in. Some are about to come out. This is day 11 of Roland Garros 2024. It's day 11 of Radio Roland Garros. It's wonderful to have your company. We're going to round up everything that's taken place, everything that's still to come. And then in about 12 minutes' time, the first of our quarterfinalists, I nearly call them semifinalists, first of our quarterfinals will be walking out onto Philippe Chatrier. Gigi and Elena and Stefan are your team to start things off. The roof is open, it's slightly overcast, it's cooler than it has been, but Philippe Chatrier looks glorious as ever.
It looks absolutely fantastic, and a few people already starting to take their seats. It's a big day. It's a big, big day, and it's... I've done a lot of Grand Slam tournaments, as have you. Obviously, you're much, much younger than me, Empress, but it always astounds me that the first week of a Grand Slam seems to be very long, and the second week flies by. I can't believe... in some ways that we're already here at this stage and you know, so we will walk out at the end of this day knowing who is going to be in the semi-finals, and I feel like we only just arrived.
Oh no, I feel I've been here a while.
Maybe it's me.
I think it could be the night sessions, but we have the final one of those this evening, and we have one less match today, one fewer match, because we don't have Novak Djokovic against Casper Ruud. I was actually reading in L'Equipe today. Now, this is in L'Equipe. It's not come from any confirmed sources. But in L'Equipe today, they are saying that Novak Djokovic is having knee surgery today, which would rule him out of Wimbledon because it's at least 3 weeks. But he's done it with a view to competing at the Olympics.
Yeah, and I'm not hugely surprised if that is the case. And as Gigi says, it's not 100% confirmed, but we'll probably find out very quickly if that is the case. Arthroscopic surgery is one of the options, and to, you almost knit the tear back together and then you begin the healing process. The other option is rest, which obviously is an infinite amount of time. It's quite difficult to predict how long rest is going to take, and then there's the danger that it's a setback. I think the thing to remember at the Olympics is called best of three sets. So although you don't get a day off in between matches because the draw is quite compressed into a week-long competition, you do at least not run the risk of getting yourself caught up in five setters. So,
yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. But as you say, at the moment, it is probably, you know, L'Equipe is a very reputable source of information, particularly on tennis. So we shall see. I mean, it's a median meniscus tear. It's a really common injury in tennis. Lots of players have it. The meniscus runs down both sides of your leg, and there's one on one side, one on the other. I think the median is the one on the inside. Medial is the one on the inside, I think. I'd want to double check that. So it's really common. It's a twisty injury. You know, when you twist your knee, any one of our listeners who are regularly doing sport, be it tennis, be it football, even rugby, anything where you have to change direction quickly, it's a risk. So it's not an uncommon injury in tennis at all.
Hashtag medial meniscus expert.
Hashtag did a lot of reading this morning. But also, I've known a lot of tennis players who've had issues with torn meniscus. So often when players have a cruciate ligament injury, which is a much more serious injury where you might be out for a year, the meniscus goes at the same time. So basically the knee gets wrenched and everything pings.
Oh, that's pleasant, isn't it? In terms of what we have for you today, in about 8 minutes' time, we're going to welcome out the first of our quarterfinalists, Jasmine Paolini, Elena Rybakina, be followed by Mira Andreeva against Aryna Sabalenka, not before 8:15 this evening, Sasha Zverev and Alex de Minaur. Eleanor and I are with you for the next hour. We're going to be building up and starting the first of the quarterfinals. So before we talk about that match in some detail, let's hear from the players who will be taken to the court very shortly, the Italian Jasmine Paolini and the Kazakh and the world number four, Elena Rybakina.
Of course, it feels so good, and I'm really happy. Today was a tough match. I didn't start so well. I was a little bit nervous, maybe. But then I repeat to myself to stay calm and to try to find a way. Yeah, it went well, so I'm really happy.
You said after your win that you change something. You gain confidence before you didn't have this confidence. What did you change in your life to be more confident and to be able to fight and go through this rank today?
I think I just, try to work on myself also on court, but also outside the court. And of course, winning helps. I played some big matches last year with a few top players, and I think that helped me to have more confidence in myself. I was like, okay, I can play with those players. And match by match, at the end, I think now I believe more in myself. I step on court and I say, okay, it's tough, but I have a chance, you know. And before was like, oh, I cannot win this match. I have to, I don't know, do a miracle. Yeah. But now I step on court and I say, okay, I can have my chance. I have to play well, of course, but I had chances, you know. Yeah.
It seems to me that there are a lot of Italian players at the moment playing excellent tennis. Do you think it's some sort of, a sort of effort, a community effort, or is it a single effort for each one of you?
I think each one of us is doing her own, like, career. But I think, winning helps everybody, you know. We are pushing each other. So I think I'm really happy about this. I mean, Yannick is doing well. Lorenzo is so young, also is doing well. Arnaldi, Elisabetta, Lucia, Martina, everybody, you know, it's playing well. So we are a lot of players doing well. And yeah, I think it helps everybody to see other, you know, guys winning.
Yeah, really happy to be in the quarterfinals and looking forward for next matches.
Hi, Elena. Do you start to think about winning the title at this point, or does your mind go to Saturday in these situations?
Well, of course, the goal is always to win, and but still, I'm focusing match by match. Now I just saw that it's just me and one, so I'm just preparing for that match for now.
You've talked in the past about wanting to come to the net more, and I thought you played some nice volleys today. I'm curious, how challenging is it to implement what you're practicing on in big match situations under pressure?
Yeah, I'm trying to come to the net more often, of course. I think that's the one thing. If I improve, it's going to be easier maybe to close some rallies, but it depends, of course, on the score, if you're confident to do that or not. But slowly, I think I'm doing good progress in that.
How close to your best do you think you're playing at the moment?
Well, for now, I think I'm playing really good. As I was saying in previous press conference, I was struggling with sleep, some health issues. I think still in the past few weeks, I lost a little bit physics, lost a bit of weight, but more or less, I'm confident and feeling great and happy that I was managing to finish the matches also in two sets.
You will have to play Jasmine Paolini at the end. You played, I think, three times against her. What do you recall of those matches, and what do you think about her and her game?
She's a tough opponent. We played now recently in Stuttgart three sets. I was up, and she's moving well. She's also hitting the ball quite heavy. So it's going to be a lot about, of course, my footwork. I will try to focus on myself. But, yeah, we know each other well. And she's been playing good now. Also, tough match against Elina. So we'll see.
Night Sessions on Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
And just to make it clear, if you've just woken up and you've just heard Night Sessions on Roland Garros, Stefan's gone early. Stefan, you've gone early. It's 2:10. So this would be classified as the afternoon session.
As the fact that he's already got a cocktail on the go that worries me.
Yeah, he's had a cocktail. He's had his pan au raisin, which apparently wasn't good. He went to the shop that always has a queue outside it. He deviated for the regular one we always go to and we like.
Is that the one I recommended? The one, yes. Ooh.
He said it wasn't very good.
Oh, well, I can only apologise.
I just got a message saying, oh, it's not very good. Tomorrow we're going to go back to where we are. So I think Stefan's a bit discombobulated.
Do you know what? It's night somewhere. It's Radio Roland Garros. We're global. Somewhere, it's a night session.
Somewhere. And we have players in the tunnel. Those players you heard from, the last person you heard from was Elena Rybakina. Before, you heard from Jasmine Paolini. We're going to let them be brought out very shortly. I would say, Oh, 2-1, Rybakina has the head-to-head. Probably not surprising when you think of the matchups and the games. It's sort of another David and Goliath meeting. Rybakina is the 4th seed. Paolini is the 12th. A first Grand Slam quarterfinal for Jasmine Paolini. And a 9th quarterfinal of 2024 for Elena Rybakina, looking for a 7th semi-final of the year. It is a big ask for Jasmine Paolini. Still going strong in the doubles, but this is tough.
It's very, very tough. It's as tough as it gets in lots of ways. But this is a significant breakthrough for her, and it's very much deserved. She has to tell herself that she deserves her place here just as much as Rybakina does. She's won the same number of matches, and as she takes that famous walk up the stairs that always look a little bit steep, and she's got quite short legs, it's quite a long way up if you're Jasmine Paolini.
And there's a lot of bags she's carrying. So let's get her out onto Philippe Chatrier. The introduction to come.
La première joueuse à rentrer sur le court est 15e mondiale. Elle a remporté deux titres dans sa carrière. Pour la première fois en quart de finale en Grand Chelem, elle est italienne. Voici Jasmine Paolini.
And she got her biggest title this year, winning the WTA 1000 in Dubai. She's also won a WTA 1000 doubles. That was in Rome alongside Sara Errani. She is on the verge of the top 10. And when I say the verge, if she were to win today, she would make her top 10 debut. As things stand, she's sitting around 13th and she's the 12th seed here. But the task that she faces, the mountain that she must overcome to book her place in her first Grand Slam final, is the next lady you are going to hear welcomed out onto Philippe Chatrier.
Elle s'est imposée à celle qui est quatrième joueuse mondiale, qui a remporté 8 titres dans sa carrière, dont un en grand chelem à Wimbledon en 2022, la Kazakh Elena Rybakina.
Who warmed up for this match, practicing against Arina Sabalenka. Elena Rybakina, 4th seed, makes her way out. She's got 43 wins against top 20 players. She owns 3 clay court titles, most recently indoors in Stuttgart. 5 finals in 2024, and she has won 3 of them. That is the task that Jasmine Paolini is facing, as Paolini is immediately into the centre. The mascots are there, the chair umpire. We wait for Elena Rybakina to sort her bits and pieces out. Then we will run through the housekeeping.
I tell you what, it's a lemon posset double because both players are wearing a sort of white and lemon ensemble. In the case of Rybakina, it's this very pale lemon as she just walks up to toss the ball. Paolini has a white top and a pale lemon skirt. They're just stopping to have their photo taken with the very lucky mascots. I noticed both players made a point of turning around saying thanks very much to the mascots that they walked out with.
So ladies, we have a wonderful procedure. I call the net. The towels are the same color as the towels box. The shot clock is on the scoreboard or across the chair. Do you have any question? No question? So, hold on, sorry. Excusez-moi. Player or ball? Player and ball. Ali.
Right, here comes coin toss.
Ball. Serve. Have a good match.
Oh, there you go. How often do players say they'll receive to test out the nerves of their opponent? Rebecca wins the toss and in a heartbeat says, I'll serve.
Well, if you have a serve like Elena Rybakina, you might as well use it. Excellent work on the coin toss, by the way, by the young man who must be about, what, seven, do we think? Yeah. Seven or eight? He did the full thumb flick.
I wonder if he was practicing that last night.
You would, wouldn't you?
You would.
It's a lot.
Because it's quite a heavy coin. It's not just like a normal whatever it is and whatever currency. It's quite a chunky thing. So, no, I agree. I think he did it very well. The voice of Paola Vieira Sousa, the chair umpire. She's back in her chair. The players are sorting themselves out on court. The warm-up has begun. The first of the two quarter-finals. So the winner will face the winner of the match that follows this. Mira Andreeva, just 17 years of age, against Arena Sabalenka, the night session to come this evening. And something that Rybakina has been speaking about is her movement, because people have noticed that on this surface the movement has improved. She's very, very tall. You could say lanky in some sense. I mean that in a positive sense of the word. But she has spoken that the movement is something that she found very difficult at first on the clay, but they have spent a lot of time working on it.
And movements, you know, a lot of players find it difficult on the clay because it's a loose surface. If you think about, you know, and unless it's just been watered, or in the case of lots of days last week, it's just rained. No, there's going to be this light dusting. So the surface moves with you, and that can be really disorientating and disconcerting. If you're used to hard courts, for example, where you plant your foot and that's where you push off, it affects everything about the shot making. And so, you know, I think it is the key to playing well on clay. And it, well, more importantly, I think it's the key to feeling confident on clay.
Yeah, absolutely. Just got a shot of Stefan Vukov, the coach of Elena Rybakina, who is head to toe. He's been Yonex'd, if that's the thing. But even to the point where he's got Yonex sweatbands on. And it's A, he's not running around, but B, it's not a day for sweatbands. He's got the baseball cap, the sweatbands, the T-shirt, he's got the hoodie, he's got the shoes, the socks, the trousers. He has been Yonex'd. The other thing to remember about Elena Rybakina is she's not lost more than four games. She hasn't dropped a set. She hasn't lost more than four games in this run to the quarterfinal at Roland Garros. She pulled out of the defense of her Rome title with illness. She's not afraid. You have to do what's right for you. But if she doesn't feel right, that it doesn't matter where or what it is, that's it, done. She's out. She won't be like, I will try and force myself because I'm defending a title. She'll be like, I don't feel right. It's not right for me. I won't play.
Yes, and we've seen her pull out of a few tournaments, which is really unfortunate, obviously, primarily for her, but also for those events. But, you know, I think that is a mild concern, and this is, you know, complete speculation, but it does suggest she is someone who has these periods of illness, and there's, you know, discussion about whether her immune system is struggling a bit with just playing at this level week in, week out, and she might just need to manage her schedule accordingly, take longer breaks. But it's I think it's very sensible. She's still very young to make those decisions and put body and mind as well first.
Yeah, absolutely. She's just been introduced to the crowd. You may have heard the word Wimbledon in there, former Wimbledon champion. Jasmine Paolini dropped a couple of sets in the first couple of rounds. She hasn't dropped any in the more recent rounds to get to the stage. And as I mentioned, she's still going strong in the doubles. Now she has a win-loss record of 1-2 and lost 7 when it comes to top 10 players. The only top 10 player she's faced at a Grand Slam, she has lost that match. She's looking for 5 consecutive wins on clay for the first time. Her best result on clay was runner-up at the Palermo event in 2023. And this is her third quarter-final of 2024.
But the biggest one. And that is going to have a bearing, and it'll be interesting to see, certainly in the first few games, to see just how she's coping with the occasion, with what's at, you know, with what is at stake here today. And of course, with the opponent, she's playing, as we said, someone who knows what it's like to lift a Grand Slam trophy. And all of those things will play in. If she plays at her best, I think she could certainly trouble Rybakina. But any sign of weakness will be exploited and is likely to be punished. I'm expecting Rybakina to do what Rybakina does best. The serve, obviously, I think it's, you know, it's a cornerstone of most players' games, but in Rybakina's case, it's, I would say, currently the best serve in the women's game.
You can hear the flagpoles fluttering and clanking. Serve down the tee, back through the middle of the court, into the net comes Rybakina. She's passed by Paolini on the stretch.
It wasn't the most convincing approach from Yelena Rybakina. She's sort of more of a casual wander into the net to see what might happen. And Paolini alive to the opportunity there. And that's what she needs to do. Any moment where she sees even the smallest sliver of light, she needs to kick that door open.
Got to get close to the door handle, though.
Well, and that's the problem with Rybakina.